podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 8 to 20 of Luke chapter 2. The little drummer boy, of course, is a fictional story about a young man who brought the only thing he had to give in worship to the Lord. A beautiful story, a great story. But now we enter into the realm of nonfiction as we approach the Word of God in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, I've heard the story of the angel so many times that I'm not sure who the first one was to tell it this way, but here's how the story goes. God calls all of his angels together to give them their orders. And, okay, here's how it's going to go down, guys. Tonight is the night when you will announce the birth of my Savior, the birth of my son, Jesus, and one of you is going to make a verbal announcement, but be careful, you don't want to scare anyone. Make sure you don't terrify them. Take it slow. Make the announcement that the Messiah, the Lord, is born in Bethlehem. Give them some general details about where they can find the baby and what the baby's going to be wearing, and then bring it home. Bring it home. The rest of you, the whole company of you, appear before them. And break through the darkness and give them a light show and really turn it on and make a statement there. And here are your lines. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And then, just as quickly as you came, just fade out. Fade out. Leave them in darkness. Your voices will echo through the hills and leave them speechless. You got it, guys? Are you ready to do this thing? One angel speaks up. Lord, who is it that we're going to be announcing this to? You left out that detail. Is it going to be Caesar, the king of Rome? Is it going to be King Herod of Israel? Who is it going to be that we're going to make this announcement to? And God says, never mind that. Just take your places. There's no time to waste. The announcement needs to be made. So the angels assemble. Their hearts are full of love for God and excitement that they were chosen for this detail. The spokesman is in the front, just like God told them to do. The rest of them are all lined up, the whole company behind, ready to light it up and shake the world and do what they do. And the curtain is closed, and they start wondering, what are we going to see once the curtain's opened? What's going to be in front of us? Is it going to be a regal Roman throne room? Is it going to be a courtyard surrounded by columns? What are we going to see? And suddenly the curtain is opened, and what do they see? The barren hills of Judea. Some sheep. And shepherds? Shepherds? Really, Lord? You sent us here from heaven to announce your son's birth to shepherds. Couldn't you have done a little better than that? Maybe you made a mistake. But they go through it as robustly as if they were approaching the most important person on the face of the earth, as if they had come from God's throne room, which they had. But you know, I bet when they returned, they were asking a lot of questions. Why shepherds? What is God up to this time? And if you're thinking that there must be some reason for it, some connection between the Christ child and the shepherds, well, you would be correct. There was no mistake. God was making a statement by sending his angel and his messengers to shepherds. So let's look at Christ's shepherd connection beginning here. First, when it comes to Jesus the Messiah, there is a shepherd legacy. There's a shepherd legacy. Look back into the history of Israel and the lineage of Jesus, and you'll find two key figures, right? They are Abraham, the father of the chosen people, and David, the king of Israel, the great king of Israel chosen by God. Jesus is a son of Abraham, and Jesus is a son of David. Both men were called by God specifically. Both men were promised a great nation. Both men were given covenants by God that a king, a ruler would come from them, and their family would rule forever and bless the nations. And to top it all off, both of them were shepherds, Abraham and David. Now, through the course of his life, as Abraham followed God, and even when he didn't follow God, he prospered because God was with him. And in Genesis 13, verses 1 and 2, we read that Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. And Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Abram was a shepherd. And of course, when it comes to David, we remember that the prophet Samuel was looking for a king that God had chosen to anoint. He came to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint this new king for Israel. And after declining all of the sons of Jesse who came before him, one after another, almost as an afterthought, we read in 1 Samuel 16, that Samuel asks Jesse, "They're still the youngest. Where's the next one, Jesse? Where don't you have any other sons?" And Jesse answers, "Yes, they're still the youngest. He's out tending sheep." And it was David, the shepherd boy, who became the king of Israel, who wrote Psalm 23, the great shepherd psalm. So it is fitting that angels should announce Christ's birth to shepherds, because it's from a long line of shepherds that Jesus came. Well, in addition to the shepherd legacy is the shepherd prophecy. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, prophets predicted that God was up to something. He was going to send a shepherd for his people. Jeremiah writes for the Lord, he says, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing," declares the Lord. And then he says, "The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Who could it be that Jeremiah is speaking about? A descendant of David? A righteous and just king? The name, the Lord, our righteous Savior? Could it be Jesus? The Jesus of whom angels sing and shepherds seek? Another prophet, Ezekiel, writes of the Lord, "Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So who's he talking about here? Well, he can't be talking about David, because David has passed away 300 years before this was written. So it's not David that he's talking about. He is talking about another David. Another David. Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel were looking forward to a king who would shepherd Israel, Jesus Christ. So it's no wonder God would choose to announce his son's birth to shepherds. So the connection between the birth of Christ and shepherds is the shepherd legacy, the shepherd prophecy, but also the shepherd identity. And some of you may be saying, is Matt Damon in this movie? But we'll just keep going. The shepherd identity. The shepherds who roamed the hills around Bethlehem weren't raising any old sheep. You need to understand. Their sheep were special sheep. They would be offered for sale along the road to Jerusalem. Families from all over Israel on their way to the temple for Passover would stop and purchase these sheep along the way in order to sacrifice them with their family. And many of them would buy these very same sheep that were grazing the hillsides around Bethlehem. So at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he walks down to the Jordan River. And there, John the Baptist sees him. And he's about to baptize him, but John the Baptist sees him coming and proclaims in John 1:29, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So there's this connection between those shepherds who raised these lambs around Bethlehem to be slaughtered and sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem in the name of God, and Jesus, who's the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed outside the walls of Jerusalem. Not only was Jesus the Lamb of God, though, he also personifies the shepherd destiny. The shepherd destiny, I'm not sure they understood him, but Jesus once told his followers in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He lays down his life for the sheep. So it only makes sense that God would announce the birth of his son to shepherds rather than rulers. Because shepherds are real people with dirt under their fingernails. They're not necessarily the most highly respected people. Their work keeps them away from the towns for long periods of time. They're rural folk, you might say. They are the folks on the outskirts of society. They have to be rough and rugged to survive the heat of the climate of Bethlehem. Their hands are split and calloused. Their feet are dirty. But there they stood within earshot of angels from heaven. And eventually beside the manger bed of the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. How many people got to stand beside that bed? How many people stood beside that bed and saw that baby? Not very many. You know the wise men came later, much later in the story. They weren't there. The shepherds were there. Joseph and Mary were there. The innkeeper and the innkeeper's wife, I don't know. We kind of like to add to the story, don't we? The companies want us to buy more pieces for our nativity set, so they make some things up, right? They give us cows and sheep and donkeys and drummer boys and all sorts of other things to put around Jesus, but really, it's just a few shepherds. They were the only outsiders who got to see the baby that day. And why not? Why not? After all, Jesus comes from a long line of shepherds. And Jesus is the long-awaited shepherd promised by God. And Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Shepherds make sense, if you think about it through God's eyes. But this might lead you to a question this morning. And while all of this sheep and shepherd stuff is interesting, and I'm glad I came to church today to hear about it, it's very enlightening. What does it mean to me right now? Really, what difference does it make? Great story, but does it matter? Well, let me narrow your thinking down to a few thoughts this morning. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's a part of your salvation that you may have overlooked. So you are a sheep, and he is your shepherd. You are a lamb, and he is your shepherd. As the psalmist said, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the challenge I want you to think about this morning is this. If Christ is your shepherd and you are his lamb, what difference does it make? Well, first look at these verses from Luke. Luke chapter 15. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friend and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, those of you who work with animals in our congregation, whether it's sheep or cattle or whatever it is, you know that if one's missing, you're going to go look for it, right? And your heart is going to be broken as you look. You're going to be concerned. And it's not just a financial thing. No, there's a better connection than that. And that's what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus says, look, my heart grieves over one lost sheep. So if Christ is your shepherd, the first thing you need to understand is you are found. You are found. It's nice to know that when you were lost in your sin and wandering in the weeds of the world, that the Good Shepherd went on a search and rescue mission to find you. Isn't it nice to know that you have that much value to the Lord that He would send His Son to seek you and to find you? Because that's what shepherds do. They seek. Jesus seeks. Now, some sheep don't want to be found. Some sheep don't think they are worth being found. Some sheep don't think they're lost in the first place. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, keeps seeking anyway. And if you put your faith in Him for salvation, you are found. And once you are found, there's something else that becomes true of you. Look at John chapter 10. Jesus said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Do you get that? There's a whole bunch of sheep in this fold. Some of them belong to this shepherd. Some of them belong to other shepherds, right? They're all in the fold mixed together. But this shepherd stands out, walks through the gate, and calls to his sheep. They hear his voice, and his particular sheep follow him because they know his voice and he knows them by name. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So not only are you found if Christ is your shepherd, also you are familiar. Because there is this mutual recognition between the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd knows and loves each of the sheep by name, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and not only are you found as one of God's lambs, you also are familiar. Look at that word familiar. Do you see anything in there? Maybe you see it. It sure is close to the word family, isn't it? Familiar. They're two words that come from the same root. Look, when Christ is your shepherd, you are familiar to Him. He is familiar to you. He knows you by name and calls out to you. You learn to distinguish His voice from all of the other voices that are calling out to you. And you reach the point where those other voices, they don't carry as much clout with you. Like when you were a child and you were lost in a crowd and you couldn't find your way and you became upset and scared, and then you heard your father's voice call out to you and you followed his voice. If Christ is your shepherd, you are familiar to him and he is familiar to you. You are family. And I hope you caught something else in that passage, John chapter 10. Says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." The sheep follow the shepherd. If Christ is your shepherd, you also are a follower. What a comfort it is to know that the Lord is your shepherd. Now, I mentioned that shepherd's psalm that David, the shepherd boy, wrote. Let me read it to you in the Message version, Psalm 23. It goes like this: "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. So take that, enemies, right? You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. What a beautiful poem that could only be written by a man who was familiar with sheep, shepherds, and the Lord God, David himself. But notice something significant. All of that security that's offered by the shepherd, all of that provision that's offered by him, all of that encouragement, all of that hope, all of that comfort, it's contingent upon the sheep following the shepherd. You understand that, don't you? That once the sheep leaves the fold and wanders off, he's on his own. He'll be sought because shepherds always seek. Someone will come looking. But danger is all around, and shepherdless sheep are ripe for trouble. If Jesus is your shepherd, you can take comfort in the fact that you are found and you are familiar. Now make a resolution that you will do everything within your earthly power to follow Jesus and not lose sight of him, because there are wolves out there in the wilderness and in the weeds of this world. And when you are out of strength to follow and you have it no more, that you will let him take you on his shoulders and carry you the rest of the way. He is the good shepherd. Will you trust in him? Will you follow him? Will you give him your life? Will you quit trying to take matters into your own hands? Will you quit trying to find a shortcut, your own path? Will you follow him? As you look at the shepherds in your manger scene, ponder the fact that presidents and dignitaries and Caesars and politicians and movie stars and oil tycoons and big shots and Wall Street brokers and movers and shakers are not there at his birth, but shepherds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word to us this morning. How we thank you, O Lord, for your choice to send angels to the hills of Bethlehem to announce the birth of your son Jesus to shepherds. And how we thank you, O God, that you sent Jesus as both our shepherd to lay down his life for us and as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Heavenly Father, we could not do this on our own. Lord, we do not have the strength to get to heaven. Lord, we are filthy in your sight. But you sent your Son Jesus, the spotless Lamb, to live a perfect life and to take our place on the cross, that all who believe in him might have salvation, forgiveness, and might sit around that table for all eternity. Lord, we thank you for these truths. And I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us as a church and as individuals, Lord, that we might learn to set aside our own agendas, Lord, to stop listening to the voice of this world, Lord, to stop wandering our own way, but instead, Lord, to closely follow you, Lord, that you might be lifted up and glorified in our lives. And we pray all of these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.